You are an awesome God, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the Lord that we have the ability to come and to worship you, to acknowledge you. Good morning. If you would turn with me to Ephesians 1. Familiar scripture to you by now. Hallelujah. But there are just so many jumping off points with this scripture. So last week we talked out of Galatians 5 and 1 and said, for freedom you have been set free. And we learned that that freedom that we had gained was the freedom to be free from the law of Moses, to be free from the religious trapping that had been going on, and to walk out in this new nature that we had been given. And we learned that we had been free, we had been made free of the condemnation that came with the knowledge of our sin. The guilt and all those things that came with it, the shame and the fear of punishment. And we have been set free from those things because we've been given a new law, and it's the law of love. And we learned that out of that place called the law of love, that we had come into a place where now we can actually truly know and understand God the Father. And as we begin to know and understand God the Father, we can begin to understand and receive that which is intended for us to have, which is a relationship with Him. And so all those things were what we talked about last week, but also form a backdrop for what I wanted to talk about today, because in this, there's a new opportunity to begin looking and understanding this relationship that we have with God. This prayer here is a prayer that Paul was praying for the people there in Ephesus. And so verse 17 says this, that the God of our Father, Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the surpassing greatness of His power toward us who believe. And these are in accordance with the working of the strength of His might. I'd like for you just to repeat this part of it with me. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be enlightened. I pray that the eyes of my heart may be opened. Because see, as we begin to understand, there's that prayer, as we begin to understand, this is a place of access that the Lord is giving us. It's a promise that the Lord is giving us. If we'll understand that and step into it, as we begin to see that we have an opportunity to come into agreement with Him, come into agreement with His will for your life, then He can begin to open the eyes of our heart. See, because God is not dealing, He doesn't specialize in dealing with the understanding of our head, our mental capacities. And we so much try to evaluate the world around us through our mental capacity. Nothing wrong with having a great mental intellect, but great mental intellect will never achieve the things of the Spirit. So what we want to do is begin to understand what it is, the spirit life that He's giving us, and that comes from the heart. As we begin to understand the spirit life that He's given us, then that's going to come from allowing Him to open our reception. Hallelujah. I'm going to give you more on that in a little bit, but this weekend, I had an opportunity to see and hear Tim's story. And he taught on something that I want to share part of what he taught with you. And that's out of Proverbs 13 and 12. And I'm going to promise you that all this ties together here. Wow. You know, miracles are born every day. Hallelujah. It says here, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a desire fulfilled is a tree of life. That is the reason that the testimony of Jesus is so impacting. Because see, a hope fulfilled, a desire realized becomes a tree of life. In other words, when we begin to hear the testimony of how God did it with someone else, when we hear that testimony, there's a power that is involved in that that can change our life. Because your testimony can change someone else's life. Because of what this word is saying here, that a desire realized is a tree of life. It's something that begins to bear fruit to those who are around you. It's something that begins to bear fruit and it begins to open up new possibilities for those who are around you. It begins to spread out from where it's planted and go into new directions. But here's what Tim brought to my attention was if you read it in the message, it reads like this. Unrelenting disappointment leaves you heartsick. Have you ever been there? I'm raising my hand. But a sudden good break can turn life around. Say it with me. A sudden good break can turn life around. See, we've all experienced the heartache and the disappointment that leaves us in a place where we don't want to do anything with anybody. We've all experienced what that means to have that which tears you down and destroys you because something happened in your life that shouldn't have happened. And it leaves you being just desolate. A lot of times what happens is in through life, we begin interpreting our life through our past experiences instead of the way life was meant to be interpreted. When we begin to understand and look at the world around us based on what we've already experienced instead of based on what is actually available to us. This was the basis of what Tim was sharing. What he was trying to say is that a sudden good break can turn life around. We have this thing of suddenlies in the body of Christ. We talk about suddenlies, but the reality is, we rarely really look for them in our life. What we need to be doing is looking for these suddenlies to happen. Looking for something that's a quick, miraculous turnaround in our life. A quick, miraculous change from what has been to what shall be. See, hope is believing what shall be. More so than what is. So when we begin to look for the what shall be, we begin to look for it, have an anticipation for the sudden, quick turnaround in our life. See, most of the time what we've done is we've taken what life has given us and then we've lowered our standards accordingly. We've lowered our standards according to what we've been handed in life. We've begun to filter out, well, I didn't get a college education, so I'm not going to be doing this. This happened in my background, so that means that this won't ever happen. And we begin walling off and shutting off possibilities based on what's already happened in our life. Rather than embracing the impossible. What is that called when we embrace the impossible? Well, faith. God wants to stir us up with faith. But we have to learn to look for and have an expectation for something past the normal, something past the usual, something that is supernatural. Because if we limit ourselves to just the natural world, that is not faith. Faith comes when we embrace the impossible, knowing that God is the God of the impossible, and that if He said it, He's well capable of doing it. There's nothing that is impossible with God. And we say this and we make it a religious term, but do we embrace what it means? Do we embrace the change that it can bring in our life? Do we embrace the change that it can mean for our family or for our business or for our ministry? You know, it seems that the littler you are, the bigger things you can imagine and embrace. Matthew 19:14 said this, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these." I don't think it was just because of their innocence that he was talking about that the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I believe it was because of the sense of wonderment that every child has. A sense of wonderment, a sense of awe about what could happen. I don't know about you, but when I grew up, I didn't grow up thinking that I was going to be a burger flipper at Burger King. No, we didn't play those kind of games. We played kings and queens and knights and all those kind of things. We played something that was grand and it was wonderful and it was full of life. We wanted to be firemen and policemen and heroes of all kinds. I grew up wanting to be Richard Petty, okay? We grew up having an expectation of life that was grand. It wasn't something that was limited by all of our past circumstance. See, children know how to think big. Children can take a little box and turn it into a fort, and now we're holding off all the whole reservation. They know how to think big. They know how to take risks. Matter of fact, many times kids don't understand anything about the fact that you can actually die doing that. Yes, like jumping off the top of the house with a trash bag on. Or like me and a friend of mine, we created this glider and stuck his little brother on the glider and we sent it off the top of the garage roof. And it was beautiful. It was a thing of wonder. And it flew for about 20 feet. And then all of a sudden it reached stall speed. And when it reached stall speed, it was not pretty. I mean, it just went wham from about 20 feet in the air. Just straight down. And I couldn't get him convinced to go back up and try it again when we made some more modifications to the glider. Don't understand that. I mean, there's a possibility, you know. It's just, you know, there's little things that had to be worked out. We didn't have quite the aerodynamics worked yet. You know, when you're young, you don't understand those things that now as an adult you see as a limit. And I believe that's why the kingdom of God belongs to such as those who are willing to go and step out with God on something called faith. Who are willing to step out past the normal and the usual and begin to embrace the impossible. Because see, when we do so, now we can come into a place of agreement with Him in what it is that He's already had in His will for our life. Those are the things that can begin to change a nation. Because they'll not only change your life, but the things that begin to happen in your life are going to change someone else's life. And as it changes someone else's life, that person can now become an infectious person towards another person whose life will also get changed. It's what God looks for us to do. A sudden good break can turn life around. Sudden means quick or miraculous. And a break is an opportunity. So what we're looking for is quick, sudden opportunities. Miraculous opportunities. But see, sometimes those miraculous opportunities show up as a problem. They show up in our life as a problem. But you know, solving that problem can be the miraculous opportunity. There's a family that's made millions of dollars off of lint rollers. But see, what showed up in their life was something that showed up in your life. They had a problem because they had lint on their suit. How many have ever had lint on their shirt or their suit? Every one of us has had to deal with lint. Every one of us has had the same problem. But see, this guy took something called a toilet paper roll. How many of you have a toilet paper roll in your house? We all have a toilet paper roll in our house. He took a toilet paper roll and he put tape on it. And he's like, hey, that works. And he patented the idea. Now he makes millions of dollars every time somebody rolls one of those things across their jacket. He's making millions of dollars. Because he took a simple problem and made it into a solution. And in that solution was his opportunity. He saw the opportunity in what everyone else was seeing was just a problem. He took common items that every one of us have available to us and then turned it into a fortune. This is called business. But it's also called walking out God's opportunity. Walking out what God saw and God gave him as an understanding of the situation. Sudden, quick, and miraculous. It'll reverse your situation. Oftentimes we have a lot of things in our life, but we need a reversed situation. Hallelujah. Genesis 1 and 1 says this, that God looked around and saw that it was good. All the creation that he had created, he looked around and he saw that it was good. So when we're talking about good, this is the kind of good that I'm talking about here. It's not just a break, but it's a good break that we're looking for. And it's a God kind of break that we're looking for. Because see, the good that God saw when he looked around at all of creation and said, this is good, it was something that meant his approval. Something that meant his liking. It was his kind of good that we're talking about. It's the God's standard of good. How many realize that God's standard of good for your life is probably a little different than your standard of good for your life? You know, we limit the good God can put in our life. Not because we intend to, but because we only have so much vision. Not because we intend to, but because we only have so much value in ourselves, and we're not valuing ourselves appropriately for what God is valuing you as. So we limit him like that. But what God is trying to do is open up an unlimited resource of possibilities. And that relates us back to the Ephesians 1, where we're talking about opening the eyes of my heart, because I want to get you back over there. But we're not quite done here. Because see, in the opening of our heart, if the opening of the understanding, the opening of the eyes of our heart is the answer to being able to perceive the good that God wants to do in your life. So God looked around and saw it was good. Do you realize that looking for your kind of break can keep you from perceiving God's kind of break? Looking for your kind of a break can keep you from perceiving God's kind of a break. Looking for a you break is not the same as looking for a God break, a good break. We might look at our situation and look for a kind of break to define, and look to define our break as, well, maybe I can just get a little more overtime. When God is saying, hey, if you want to really have a God kind of break, I want you to start this business. It may be, we just wanted to maybe get a new job. And God said, no, I want you to step out into this ministry. I want to give you my kind of a break. I want to open you up into something that you haven't even begun to get to consider, because the risk factor. See, when we're children, the risk factor doesn't affect us too much. But when we get a little older, the risk factor becomes everything. We do most of the things in our life based on the risk factor, based on the factor of whether or not it's going to meet someone's approval, based on the fact of whether or not it's going to actually turn out the way we think it's supposed to turn out. Those are all risk factors that we begin to look at and experience life through. But as long as we keep defining life by those things, then we're just looking for a my kind of a break instead of a God kind of a break. God has an opportunity for you, and He wants to open your understanding to see the opportunity. Every one of us has a yard that needs to be cut, but only some of us make money at that. I know a man who's very successful at what he's doing now, and yet he just turned that simple little need into a big business. And he did it basing it on the scriptures that God was opening up to him. Because God told him that if you'll give a gift, He showed him that if you'll give a gift, then it'll open the way. So what he did is he printed up a bunch of coupons and he went out and put these coupons in people's doors. And he just said, basically the coupon said, good for one free mowing or whatever, you know, lawn care service you needed. And so basically he would do that based on what the scripture was telling him and knowing that it would work and open the way. A simple thing. And then he let the work that he did stand and speak for itself. A God kind of a break. Why? Because he took a simple problem and made it into a big business because he had no other choices because being with his background, no one was going to hire him. So God said, that doesn't limit me. I can let you do the hiring. If we look at this thing in the natural, we would look at what his lack of education and the fact that he'd been in prison and all these other things and go, hey, there's no way he's going to be a success. But see, he didn't let the limitations that the world tried to prescribe limit him. He found a God kind of a break. And he found it in the scripture. Meantime, we're missing a good break because we're not paying attention. That went over like a lead balloon. I just felt this like... But see, we're focused on our sickness. We're focused on our lack. We're focused on just getting through the day. Or we're focused on some distraction. How many mindless TV shows can you watch? Oh, I'm sorry. How many mindless TV shows can we watch? I wasn't looking at anybody, I promise. But see, that kind of thing keeps us living in a box. See, we all live in a box, and a box sometimes is described by dollars. Or sometimes it's described by your past activity. Sometimes a box is described by your education or your lack of it. Other times, it's just simply described by our thinking. This is one area where God doesn't want you living by your means when it comes to your thinking. When it comes to your thinking, God doesn't want you living by your means. He wants you to live in an unlimited world and an unlimited thought pattern and an unlimited understanding because see, when you begin to embrace that unlimited world and unlimited thought pattern, unlimited understandings, now you can begin to come into alignment with Him on what your real possibilities are. I'll let you chew on that a second. What if you had an unlimited faith? How would your life be different? What if you had unlimited time? How would your life be different? What if you had unlimited resources? How would your life look? Besides the new Cadillac and the bigger house and everybody wants a new pony, I understand. How would your life look? Because see, God has equipped you with more potential than you can use in a lifetime. He's equipped you with a greater gifting than what you're currently employing. And I'm talking to me. Even if it's not here for the rest of you, I'm talking to me. Let your gifting make the way for you. What he's looking for is for us to renew our mind. To renew our mind and begin to see the world around us in a brand new way. And we do that by embracing the God-given gifts that he has given us. We do that by embracing this possibility of coming into relationship with our Father, into relationship with faith, into relationship with the Holy Spirit. Because as we do so, then we can come into an understanding that's not born of this world. We started this, and I told you I would get back to this, and we're back there at this moment, which is talked about opening the eyes of our heart. You know, Stevie Wonder said this. He said that many people who see are limited. He said, I'm not limited because I'm not seeing in the natural. I see with the eyes of my heart. I see with my inner eyes. See, oftentimes we allow the things that we see to limit our possibilities. And he said, I don't have that limit. Look at how much he's been able to do and embrace in his life. Because he didn't have that limit. And he said, I just want to embrace what God's putting in front of me. The fact that he's blind didn't keep him from doing something that, quite frankly, is pretty miraculous. But he wasn't busy being concerned about what he couldn't see. He was being concerned about what God was putting in his heart. He was allowing God to open the eyes of his understanding. As he played this keyboard, he found an outlet for that understanding. And so he set the music to change the generation. See, we're not limited by that which is natural. We don't have to be. Jesus never woke up, not even one day, and wondered this. Never had this thought. Lord, what must I do to get your blessing on my life? Father, what must I do? Get your blessing on my life. Never occurred to him. Why? Because he was a son. And he knew he was a son. He defined his life as a son. And by defining his life as a son and seeking to be in alignment with the Father, then he was able to do so many things. A number of years ago, I had a vision, and in this vision, God was teaching me how to work with people who needed deliverance. And in this vision, I began to see that as I was reaching out, or as I was beginning to speak into their life and beginning to command these spirits in someone's life, then he showed me to see himself reaching around me and touching them and doing the thing that I was telling it this thing to do. And when I began to see life that way, I began to experience a tremendous increase in authority. Now it becomes natural because I understand that when I speak, it is the same as when he speaks, when I'll allow that authority to operate. Now he's changing the paradigm. He's having me begin to see myself in him. So that when he walks, I walk. When he talks, I talk. When he sits, I sit. The word says in Acts 17:28, in him I live and move and have my being. What he's beginning to do is have me to see this in my mind, to begin to embrace it with my understanding of my heart. Because as I embrace it in the understanding of my heart, that in him I live and move and have my being. And in him I live and move and have my being means that when he's moving, I'm moving. When he's sitting, I'm sitting. When he's praying to the Father, I'm praying to the Father. When he's coming in to sit on the throne, I come in to sit on the throne. Because see, as I see those things, as I begin to understand those things, then my understanding of the possibilities is beginning to change. Because just like Jesus always woke up every day knowing that he was a son, I'm beginning to dawn in my understanding what it means to be a son. Because as he moves, I move. I had a problem that I have worked on, I've been trying to solve it in my natural understanding for several months. Asking the Lord, well, what does this mean? And I kept pursuing it in more or less secular ways of how to establish or fix the situation. And it finally occurs to my lightning quick mind that as a son, my reaction would be very different. My actions are going to be very different. Because it's no longer about my need. It's about their need. As a son, it will be about finding and exhibiting and releasing the Father's love. Because that's what he did. As a son, it's about doing as he did in Acts, going around doing good and setting people free of the oppression of the enemy. As a son, what I began to understand is that now the possibilities look very different than they did an hour or two ago when I was considering what I do with that situation. Because see, now, as a son, I have an unlimited resource to deal with it. I'm not limited by the finances that I can muster or the finances that I could get from somebody else to muster. I can get by to muster. We're not limited by those things anymore. I have an unlimited resource. I can begin to walk in faith because now, see, I'm living as I become the Son, as I begin to stand in Him, move with Him, and have my being in Him, I can begin to anticipate the world through an atmosphere of faith. I'm not talking about something that's just a momentary thing. I think this is a mind shift that he's moving in me and then hopefully in you. Because we're embracing something of a new possibility. We're embracing a world that we couldn't imagine outside of him. Opening the eyes of our heart. Opening the eyes of our heart. For freedom, we were set free. When we begin to open the eyes of our heart, we begin to step in and be in Christ. What does Romans 8:1 tell you? There is therefore now no condemnation for those who were in Christ Jesus. It looks different than it did just a few seconds ago if you had thought of that same scripture, doesn't it? when you're in Christ Jesus. When you're using that God-given imagination and employing it with the Word of God in your heart, the Word that you've stored up and treasured in your heart, then the possibilities are limitless. Because now you're in an atmosphere where when you come before the Father and you're coming before the throne and you're expressing yourself, the atmosphere is one of faith. Faith that changes everything. A while ago we asked, what would happen if you could perceive the world with all faith? What would happen if you could perceive the world with unlimited resources? Unlimited time? In His presence, you can perceive those things that way. In His presence, when you begin to seek Him out by the Word of God, and you begin to seek Him out and allow Him to bring you into that place of access, knowing that He is your high priest and He is the one who's watching over you and He is the one who's drawing you in to bring you into the throne of grace so that you might receive mercy and grace to help in your time of need. When you understand that, and you're doing it from a perspective of being in this one who is your high priest, then you already know there will be no rejection from Papa. You already know that whatever that you ask, because you're in the name, it will be granted. So the question to ask yourself is, how does a son see the world around him? How does a son begin to see the world around them? Because see, in the asking of that question and in the answering of that question will be different for each and every one of us, because see, God created each one of you for a separate purpose. But one thing for sure, He created you to be an atmosphere changer. He created you to be an agent of change wherever you're at. It's in becoming the agent of change that we step into the fullness of our calling. Because remember, the other part of the prayer was that we would understand this calling that He has put on our life. And we find it by embracing the place of seeing in our heart through the Word that He's given us, through our words of access, through the words of promise, through the words of hope He's placed before us. Turn with me to Joshua 1. Ruth said something to me the other day that really caught my attention. So I just went and read the book of Joshua. And the thing that I came away with is an overwhelming impression that this man was a man of God. And that in this place of being a man of God, not only was he a man of God, but he was an agent of change everywhere that he went. And that there were those who embraced the change that he brought, and there were those who did not. Those who embraced the change that he brought lived. Those who did not died. Because see, he was changing in one generation. He changed the culture of a region. Because he embraced what God was doing. And he found this place, I believe, because he was one who was always known to be in the tabernacle. When Moses came in and went out, Joshua stayed in the tent of meeting. And he found the heart of God. He found how to perceive the world around him through the heart of God. And as he perceived the world around him through the heart of God, then God began to speak and to testify on his behalf. And we see one of the things that he released right here. So you'll know that there's a biblical approach for what I'm telling you. Verse 5. This is the Lord speaking to Joshua. No man will be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I've been with Moses, I will be with you. I will not fail you nor forsake you. When you stand in the place with Him, when you understand who you are in Christ, and you come into that place with Him of beginning to look and deal with the world around you from that perspective, you can expect that just as He spoke to Joshua, He will speak to you. And as He spoke to Joshua, He said, I will not fail you nor forsake you. If you know that God is on your side beyond any shadow of a doubt, that He will not fail you nor forsake you, what all can change in your life? What kind of possibility does that open up for you? It doesn't matter how old we are. When we understand and we receive the promise, as long as there's breath, there's still possibility. This is why He spoke to Joshua. Joshua was probably 50-some years old at this point. And he went on to dispossess these people out of their land and change a whole region and establish a nation. They inherited houses that they did not build and lands that they did not plant. They inherited harvests that they did not prepare for. Wells that they did not dig. Because somebody allowed God to open up their mind to a new possibility. Joshua came out of Egypt the same as the rest of them. All he knew was being a slave. But he changed a nation. He changed a nation. He was an agent of change. Even as God is wanting you to be an agent of change. In 1 Peter 2:25, we see that God is the shepherd and the guardian of our soul. When we begin to embrace Him as a shepherd and the guardian of our soul, now that frees me from having to worry about those things. I can quit trying to steward that something that He's supposed to be doing. Now I can begin to embrace the possibilities, otherwise known as risks. Nothing happens in this life without risk. Great things happen when risk is embraced in a godly way. Tim told this wonderful story of going to the Dodgers ballpark. And at the Dodgers ballpark, he sat next to a 76-year-old white lady who talked his ear off. She had season tickets for the Dodgers. She and her husband were there every game. And every time the Dodgers were there, they were there. He said, but as she was talking to him, they were seated there on the first base side and about four rows up, and as she was talking to him, she said that her eyes would keep darting back out to the field and darting around here and there and everywhere else. And he was like, maybe it's a nervous tick. He wasn't quite understanding. He said, all of a sudden he heard the crack of a bat and her eyes darted out again. And he said, the next thing he knows, she dives down underneath her seat and pulls up with his glove and gets up and stands up and starts running with this glove on to catch the foul ball. And Sam looks at her husband and says, what is this? It's a pretty unusual sight, 76-year-old lady chasing this ball all around here. And he says, oh, and she only gets about 5 a year. And she's not any good at it. And he was like, 5 a year? And she looks down at that moment from chasing her the ball and looks down and says, tell him about last year. And he said, last year she caught 13. While talking. The whole time. But see, she had an anticipation. She saw a possibility that most of us aren't willing to embrace. She took the risk of having this glove on her hand going in and out of the stadium every week. A 76-year-old lady with a glove on her hand probably got a few stares. But she didn't let that deter her from the possibility of the joy of snagging yet another foul ball. See, there were several keys that we find in that story because she was positioned on the first base side, three or four rows up, right in prime foul ball territory. So she was positioned. See, you got to be positioned to understand and perceive your break. She was positioned for a good break. She was prepared because she brought this glove, and even though the glove was down underneath the seat, she'd already figured out how to get it on and up before that ball got there. And she was postured. So she was positioned, she was prepared, and she was postured for a good break. Now, this one might not turn her life around, but it's a good break. It might turn her life around if it's the World Series ball that she catches. And somebody gives you $500,000 for that ball. She was positioned and she was postured. By postured meaning that nervous tick that she kept looking back out to see what was going on. She was in a posture to look and anticipate what was going to happen. She was enjoying an anticipation for something outside the norm. God is challenging us this morning to look and anticipate something in your life outside the norm, to anticipate something that comes as a good break that changes your life, a good break that turns life around. No more concerned with the rejection or the disappointment or the false hopes and things that have happened in the past. No more being defined by those activities of the past, but being defined by God's good pleasure. His will. His goodness. As He describes it for your life. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Unlimited resources. Unlimited time. God wants to meet you in an unlimited manner. And it comes from allowing Him to open the eyes of your heart, to begin seeing yourself. And as you see yourself through the words of faith, embracing this God who tells us that He's never going to fail us and He's never going to forsake us. Amen.